Let's talk about a struggle many of us know all too well, losing weight. Remember those days when everyone was on a juice cleanse or just basically hangry all the time? That was no fun for anyone. Well, there's a better, more sustainable way to shed those pounds. Today, I want to introduce you to Robody. It's not your typical weight loss program. Instead of all the gimmicks, they offer access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. But here's the real deal. They pair these shots with simple lifestyle changes, helping you lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Plus, over 200,000 people have already seen results with Robody. So what sets Robody apart? The support. They handle all the insurance stuff for you and give you access to a provider whenever you need them. And the best part, you can sign up online from home, no doctor's appointments and no waiting rooms. Say goodbye to those days of hangry juice cleanses. With Robody, losing weight is straightforward and sustainable. Take that first step today and say hello to a healthier, happier you. Kickstart your weight loss journey the right way and head to ro.co/IDO. That's ro.co/IDO. Sign up today for just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Remember, medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/IDO. Hey, Love Tribe. Today's episode is brought to you by one of my personal favorites, Cozy Earth. They've got something special for all the mothers out there. So anyone who wants to shower the special woman in their lives with love and the comfort they deserve, listen up. Hands down, Cozy Earth has the best sheets, bedding, pajama sets, and more. So today, I'm excited to share that Relationship Advice listeners get an exclusive 35% off discount. Simply go to cozyearth.com and use the promo code I do at checkout. The first time I tried their bamboo sheets, I was blown away. The comfort level is insane. I just love slipping into their seriously soft and cool sheets after a long day. And for a mom who knows that the struggle of sleep deprivation is real, Cozy Earth's temperature regulating technology has been a lifesaver. No more waking up sweating or freezing. But what really sold me is the quality of the bamboo sheets. They are by far the most comfortable sheets I have ever slept in. They are made to last years, which they have. I think at this point I have about 6 sets of them. And they have a 100-night sleep-free trial and a 10-year warranty. So you know you're getting something that is going to stick around. So if you're ready to prioritize your sleep health and treat yourself or the mom in your life to the luxury she deserves, head on over to cozyearth.com and use the promo code IDO for an exclusive 35% off. Because every mom deserves a good night's sleep, and with Cozy Earth, you can finally get the rest you need.
What's going on, Love Tribe? Thank you for joining us. We hope you're having a great day, evening, night, whenever you're listening to this. We have another great show for you guys today.
Yes, and today we interview Rabbi David Cohen, and he is a author, podcaster, motivational speaker, congressional rabbi, and marital therapist in New York. He graduated from the Columbia Law School and the University of North Texas, and just recently published a new book called We're Almost There. And today we talk all about communication.
And we've obviously had shows in the past around communication, but it's such an important aspect of a successful relationship or marriage that we really can't talk about enough. And Rabbi Cohen gives us some new tips and ideas to think about, practices to implement to improve communication. So check that out. If anything, you'll learn the anatomy of why we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. Hint, It's for better listening.
Yes, it's so important. And as always, thank you guys for listening and for sharing the podcast with your friends and family. We have a ton of free resources on our website, our 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, as well as a lot of free guides and mini ebooks on our website at idpodcast.com. So we encourage you guys to check that out and enjoy today's show. Before we jump into today's interview, we want to tell you about our online course, Spark My Relationship. Do you guys want to create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner in less than 90 days?
Yes. Sign me up.
Then you guys need to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. It is an online course, like I mentioned, that we created with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you guys the strategies marriage therapists teach their clients.
We talk about it on the show. Relationships take work. Sometimes they function pretty easily and you coast along, but we've found the reality is you have to do work sometimes and to make them better, to change them so that they're more satisfying for both partners.
And you've made it here. You've made it to listening to our show. So you guys probably already know that a little bit, but what you might not know are the specific tools and exercises that you need to create those lasting and positive improvements in your relationship. And like Chase said, change does not happen on its own. It takes hard work. And that's why we created the course.
Spark My Relationship is designed to infuse your life and relationship with fresh passion, skills, and wisdom. And it's a self-paced journey that's perfect for turning up the heat, having some fun together, and revolutionizing your intimacy and communication.
And just some tools and strategies that the course includes is to how to eliminate unhelpful old habits, develop mindful awareness to help improve your stress management, learn healthy and successful communication tools, create a deeper and more intimate bond, and strengthen your couple microculture, which you will find out what that is. In the future together. So for our listeners only, we're offering a special of $100 off the course. Visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to unlock your discount. And there is a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there really is no reason to not give it a try. So go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock for $100 off. Rabbi Cohen, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Today, we're going to dive in and talk about communication in marriage. And we talk about communication a lot on the show, and we really can't talk about it enough because it's so critical to successful relationships. So as a rabbi and a marriage and family therapist, we think you have some unique insights into this and would like you to share them with us today. So let's dive in and maybe you can talk about the most common communication problems you find when working with couples.
I think that one of the greatest challenges in communication, when we think communication, we think about speech, we think about talking. But in truth, each of us hopefully is blessed with two ears and one mouth, which is reflective of the importance of listening. And I think what I have observed over many years of my working with couples and with families is that sadly, people often are talking over each other. They're not genuinely hearing or understanding what their partner is saying. And that often creates tremendous gaps in communication.
So what's the first thing that you tell couples when you see that happening in a relationship where one partner is more or less not listening to, and maybe it's both ways, both people in the relationship, but if there's one person that's listening less, how do you start that conversation, that dialogue to bring up the awareness and the importance of that?
So there are different approaches to it. And if you're in a therapeutic setting, there are even kind of formal tactics like a speaker listener type of technique, but the basic, just it's slowing things down. It's kind of like whoa, let's hold on a second here. Let's slow down. Like what did you just hear your partner say, and I'll have the other partner kind of play back what they think the person said, And more often than not, you know, myself as the objective observer and the person who's speaking will then kind of confirm, is that what you were saying? And they'll be like, no, that's not what I was saying at all. So on and so forth. It's the first step is often, let's just slow down. Let's break this down. Let's make sure that we're all on the same page. Let's make sure that we're hearing what it is our partner is actually saying. And also, in addition to that, you know, there's so many, communication is so multi-layered and multifaceted, and people are often communicating different things with their body language, with their intonation, with their inflection. So there's so many levels of trying to understand what a partner or what another individual is saying. So we have to also kind of be sensitive to the different levels and modalities of communication. But for starters, it's just, let's slow things down. Let's try to get clear what it is the person, what we think they're saying.
Is that an exercise a couple can do without a therapist, maybe to be like, okay, what I'm hearing you say and then repeat it? It seems like that might be something valuable to do.
Absolutely, Chase. I think it's something that, you know, a lot of these things can ultimately be implemented between the couple themselves and the comforts of their own home. Some people don't like it because it's not so spontaneous and it's very formalistic. And, you know, we're not having a conversation right now about sex and marriage, but just use it as a comparison or as an example. A lot of people bemoan the reality that, you know, for people to be able to have intimacy, they have to schedule it. And a lot of people they find that unromantic. But practically speaking, if you want to accomplish and meet needs in relationships, you have to schedule things. And similar with communication, I think that there could be a formalistic aspect to it that maybe is not as romantic. But yeah, there's kind of, you can, you know, the way we do it sometimes in training is like you give somebody a broom or you give them like a fake microphone. And it's like a very formal thing. Like right now, Jack, for example, Jack has the stage and the partner's not allowed to say a word until Jack gets out everything Jack wants to say. And the other partner has to kind of spit back or kind of reframe or kind of share what they heard. And then the other partner has the ability to say, okay, that's exactly what I meant. You know, take turns, hand over the microphone to the other party. But yes, it could definitely be accomplished informally in the comfort of one's own bedroom.
And if you don't have a microphone, obviously we're pretending here, but it seems like a valuable exercise. You could, like, thinking, just hold a pen. I have a pen in my hand right now, and just hand it to your partner when you're done talking. And it kind of formalizes everything. And maybe I'm just picturing it for myself and will maybe help me not interject when Sarah's talking. And it can be just valuable in to get over the fact that, you know, it's not as spontaneous or maybe romantic and it's more businesslike, but I think it could be more successful, especially if you're having issues with communication.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think couples could definitely have fun with this. They could definitely come up with whatever prop they want to use or no prop. You know, it really depends on the couple. There's some couples who unfortunately often kind of talk over each other and it needs to be a little more rigid, or a little more formal. For other couples that are kind of just early on in marriage, just want to kind of strengthen communication skills, but they're not per se struggling. So then they could just be, you know, just it's a question of kind of carving out some time for it and just say, for the next half hour, we're going to try to focus on hearing each other better, strengthening our listening, and by extension, strengthening communication. It's really exercise that anybody can do in any framework.
Do you want to know one of my favorite meals? It's a slice of toasted bread with tomato, mozzarella, basil, olive oil, salt and pepper, and a little drizzle of balsamic glaze. Makes my heart happy. It's so simple. It's so delicious. And I love that all the ingredients get to show off their individual flavors. I used to eat it all the time as my easy go-to meal. And then all of a sudden, there was a ton of messaging out there telling me that I shouldn't eat carbs and that I shouldn't eat bread and that bread is bad. And I hate to admit it, but I cut out bread entirely for the longest time. And it wasn't until recently that I started to understand that not all bread is created equal. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. I highly recommend that you give their bread a try. They're giving Relationship Advice listeners 10% off when you visit hero.co. and use the code IDO at checkout. I was so excited to discover Hero Bread. It's truly amazing, and they've made a product that is tasty and soft while having 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and high in fiber. I'm not gonna lie, their white bread is so good, and it makes the best tomato and mozzarella sandwich. Last week, Stella and I were back in Florida visiting our family, and we all walked to the lake, and the only bread we had in the house was Hero Bread. So we grabbed a slice, walked to the lake, and by the time we got there, Stella had eaten the whole piece of bread and, of course, wanted more. So the poor ducks didn't get any Hero Bread, but Stella did. Since I had cut out bread for a while, every time I ate low-quality bread, my body felt bad. It felt bloated and I didn't feel great. But with Hero Bread, I feel good after eating it, which makes my life so much easier because now I can go back to my easy grab-and-go sandwiches when I'm on the run. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code IDO at checkout. That's IDO at HERO.co. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Well, that is a great place for our listeners to start if they're wanting to improve the communication within their relationship. So is there another big key issue that you see that couples have a problem with in terms of communication within the relationship?
So I'm a big user of social media, but at the same time, I'm very sensitive to the drawbacks of social media. And I think that in the world in which we live today, where so much of our communication is via technology, and you know the whole kind of idea of like a tweet of a lot of controversy surrounding presidential tweets. You know, we've had a president in the White House in America where he actually tweets, which is like a new mode of communication. Obviously, not everybody's such a fan of that, but it's emblematic of this idea that a person can kind of put out and have a very brief, kind of very succinct type of message, but that might be good for drawing attention or kind of trying to get people's get excited about something or get some information out. And obviously there are many other mediums. I'm just using Twitter for example. We could talk about each one in particular, but at the end of the day, I think that many of us are involved in that world for better or worse, and it trickles into our communication with our spouses. And when you're talking to a spouse, it's a whole different world. It's a whole different animal. And I find even just for example, with my own wife, a lot of times like we're texting back and forth during the day, quick messages, a smiley face. And it's sweet because it's very meaningful to be connected to your spouse during the day, even when you're both busy. But it's essential, though, to have real communication, genuine communication. Obviously, if you're face to face, you could look into each other's eyes. You can focus. You can concentrate. But the idea that I always think of this. My grandfather, I found letters from my grandfather, love letters that he used to write, multiple kind of snail mail letters to my grandmother, you know, in the 1930s. And they were such passionate letters. And we need to go back, I think, to kind of like a more romanticized or slower type of communication with our spouses. And in response to your question, yes, I think another problem, I think, is in the age of fast social media that trickles into relationships and marriages, and it can be detrimental.
What are some examples that maybe you've seen with couples you're working with that this has become detrimental? Because I know just between texting Sarah or friends and family that a lot of times there's not any emotion or tone in text messaging, and that's created issues. So I imagine this is kind of the thread that you're maybe hinting at, and maybe you can give us some specific examples.
Yeah, look, it varies. Certainly you can have, I've certainly counseled couples that have had, you know, they'll show me text messages or look what she said in this text message, or look how she spoke to me. And you look at the text message and you'll kind of be like, it's a text message. There is no tone. Or you're imputing, or it's an email and you're imputing feelings that aren't there in the email. Or sometimes somebody hits caps, you know, by accident or something like that. But it's not the ideal framework for meaningful conversation, for dialogue, certainly when there are issues that need to be negotiated or worked out. It might be fine for just pick up the kids at 5 o'clock or just checking in and thinking about you. But I think we have to think, part of communicating more effectively with our spouses in marriage and beyond is kind of thinking about what medium are we using in what context? And is this the best medium to communicate? And it's very important. I think that a lot of times we're just not using the best medium or the best format of communication. I think also I've counseled couples that work, you know, that have addiction issues. I think a lot of times as well that, you know, many of us are so addicted to our devices. We're not even cognizant of it. We're not even aware of it. And even just kind of more subtly kind of looking at other relationships online, or even worse, you know, looking at members of the opposite gender or sex online very innocently, or old friends or old flings, you know, all different types of cans of worms can be opened up that can be very harmful to what we're trying to build in terms of greater intimacy and greater depth of feeling and emotion with the critical person in our lives. So it's a Pandora's box of challenges. And I've seen all different types of things that can be very harmful to relationships.
Let's talk a little bit about listening. Sometimes this is a skill that needs to be cultivated, and I am definitely guilty of not being the best listener. So this being a huge part of communication, so how can we listen better? Or if we feel like our partner is just always interrupting and not listening, how can we talk about that with them?
So I think, look, a lot of things in life, you have to model good behavior. Sometimes it's more effective to model than it is to kind of implore or educate even. So just on the most simplistic level, if we listen well or we're present for our spouses and we don't interrupt them, it's much more likely that they will reciprocate and give us the same type of deference or respect. You know, that being said, I think some of the keys to listening effectively, and look, everybody has different bandwidths, and I've never done a study on this. It could be just there are people that are inherently better listeners than others. But at the core of it, I think being fully present and not being distracted, not a lot of books talk about not thinking about what you're going to say in response while your partner is still speaking to you, not playing on your phone, not, you know, looking at something else. It really, and like sometimes I often advise couples that sometimes it's important to be honest with your spouse and say to them, look, Sarah, right now I can't give you the focus I need to give you right now. What you're saying is incredibly important. I want to be more present. Let's schedule this for, I do this a lot. I do this with my wife. I've learned to kind of do this rather than have her talking to me and I'm obviously not there or I'm half there. I'll say to her, my wife's name is Rachel. I'll say, Rachel, look, you know, give me please a half hour, 45 minutes. Let me finish up what I'm doing and then I'll be able to give you my undivided attention. I think that's also part of communication, which is to let our spouses know when we're open to hearing what they have to say. Maybe there are times we're not as open. You shouldn't just say like, oh, you know, I can't talk to you right now and harshly cut them off. You kind of have to make a commitment that you're going to give them what they need, the time that they need. But I think in the basics, it's kind of like, you know, when you are at that time, when you're going to give your spouse that honor and that focus and that love and appreciation, there can't really be anything else going on. The phone has to be put away. Your mind has to be as clear as possible. So communication can even circle around how to most effectively negotiate when that time is going to be. But you're underselling yourself if you're going to kind of like have a, you know, a half-baked conversation because your mind is in a million other places.
You brought up some great points about, you know, not being distracted. I think obviously the phones are a huge distraction in our lives. And what really helps me listen and feel heard is if there are no phones present. So just not even on the table if you're having a discussion, because I think even unconsciously, if it dings or we're waiting for it to ding or light up, it can be a huge distraction for effective communication.
Chase, that's huge. I've found recently, I mean, pre-coronavirus, and a lot has changed in the world, but when my wife and I would, you know, I always encourage couples to go on a date night, like once a week, ideally, if not once a week, then at least once a month to kind of get out and take a walk, get out of your normal environment. So for a time, if my wife and I were going out to dinner, for example, to a restaurant, somebody has to have a phone because we have kids at home and there could be an emergency, but I would actually leave my phone at home. I wouldn't even bring it with me because I know that if it's in my pocket, I'm going to be sneaking a peek at it, so on and so forth. So I think there's a lot to be gained by really putting away the devices. And even if at home it's hard for whatever reason, although like you're saying, it's ideal to do it. And certainly if we're going out or if we're having special time with our spouse, you know, and we're able to kind of, one of us can leave the phone behind. It's just going to help create better connection.
So earlier you mentioned about scheduling sex or things in your relationship that are important to you. And we've often heard that it's important to schedule check-ins, communication check-ins, or meetings with your partner so that things are talked about uninterrupted and in a timely manner. And in addition to that, is there any other tools like that that are equally as important that couples should be doing to make sure they actually sit down and have those important conversations uninterrupted?
I think it's important to always be a keen observer of your significant other, meaning that, like, you know, life is so hectic and so busy. I'm located in New York. It's really a fast-paced, high-paced life. You know, I work full-time. My wife works full-time. We have five children. We have a lot going on in our home. And I think it's just important to kind of be an observer. And if you see that your significant other is out of kilter or out of whack or just kind of like being overly reactive or things are going on with them, look, it's very key what you're saying, Sarah, in terms of, you know, always kind of having these formalistic times to check in and check in, you know, marriage checkups. And that's great. I think as marriage goes on, I know when I was younger and earlier married, we would do that more often. I think now it's harder, but in more advanced stages of marriage, I think it's critical to have awareness. And if you see that something's kind of out of whack, it's very important there to kind of take a time out and just kind of check in and say, is everything okay? I noticed that you seem particularly stressed. I noticed that you seem, you know, very reactive. Like, maybe we can just find a little time to talk things through. Again, in the better relationships, this just kind of happens intuitively or naturally. I think we're all kind of in a dance with our partners. And the more we deepen and the more we are together for longer, I think that a lot of the stuff that we're talking about now in a more formalistic way or in a more scheduled way, it becomes a bit more natural, which is ideal, but it doesn't really matter if it's more natural or more formalistic. The point is to make sure that we're kind of on the same page of our spouse. When we get married, we're making a commitment that we have a partner for life and that we're going to really take responsibility for them. You know, everybody's responsible for their own level of happiness, obviously, for working on themselves, but at the same time, our partners can do a lot to help us along the way. And it's crucial to show our partner that we're aware, that we're sensitive, that we see kind of that they're there and that they have their struggles and that we care about them.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Voting has always been important to me because I know how lucky I am that I am able to exercise my right to vote. But not everyone can say the same. Unfortunately, there are many people in our country that are being prevented from exercising their right to vote. We live in a democracy. Demand that your elected officials have the time to count every vote in the 2020 elections. decision makers nationwide want to make it harder to get every ballot counted and voice heard. Don't let this stop you from taking a stand to protect your voting and civil rights. They will not silence us. Visit andstillivote.org to call your elected officials today to make sure every vote is counted. Paid for by the Leadership Conference Education Fund.
Today's episode is brought to you by Sakara.
Hey, Love Tribe. I just want to ask you a few questions. I want to know why you guys are here. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner? Do you want to feel truly heard? Are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? And let's not forget about the fun. Do you long for those fun, giggly moments at the beginning of your relationship? Over the last decade of hosting this podcast with Chase, these have been our top questions. And we get it. We've been there. And that's why we created Spark My Relationship course, because we wanted to put the tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. So we're offering this course, Spark My Relationship, for only $100 until April 6th. In less than 90 days, this self-paced course will help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner, all while having fun doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 psychologists and therapists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. This offer is only going to last until Saturday, April 6th. So head on over to our website, sparkmyrelationship.com, and use the code FLASH24 at checkout to get the course for only $100. That's nearly 60% off, and it won't last. The sale ends April 6th. That's sparkmyrelationship.com and use the code FLASH24 to get our course for only $100. Hey, Love Tribe. I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The holiday season is quickly approaching, which means late nights, rich foods, and probably one too many drinks. So this year, treat you and your loved ones to a gift of radiant health by preparing healthy meals that also taste super yummy. With Sakara, you can reach your health goals without sacrificing taste.
Sakara is a nutrition company that focuses on overall wellness, starting with what you eat. The menu of ready-to-eat, chef-crafted breakfasts, lunches, and dinners changes weekly so you'll never get bored, and it's delivered fresh anywhere in the U.S. You can restore digestive harmony, regulate cravings, shed excess weight, and get a holiday-worthy glow. I love my holiday-worthy glow.
Yes.
Just in time for the season. So along with the meal delivery programs, they also have a variety of favorite wellness products, like their best-selling Metabolism Super Powder and nutrient-rich supplements, including a prenatal vitamin.
And right now, before the holidays, they have what they call their popcorn trio. And I don't know about you, but I am obsessed with holiday popcorn. Like, you know, where you get the three different, the sweet, the salty, and the cheesy all in one tin. And they have that. And it's a superfood snack. And I cannot wait to get mine. So very excited for that one. And for a limited time, Sakara is granting you early access to their only sale of the year with 25% site-wide with the code IDOBLACKFRIDAY. That's 25% off your entire order when you go to Sakara.com and enter the code IDOBLACKFRIDAY at checkout. Enter IDOBLACKFRIDAY at checkout for 25% off your entire order. That's Sakara, SAKARA.com.
You mentioned yourself and your wife working full-time and the five kids, and I just thought, that sounds like a very busy life, as you said. So if you don't mind sharing, it can be from clients or your personal experience of how you guys navigate that in through the lens of communication. And if you don't want to share, then maybe how someone in a similar situation might navigate a busy life like that.
No, I'm happy to share a little bit, you know, even from personal experience. I think when we tend to run into trouble, I don't mean major trouble, when we tend to run into frustration is when we're not communicating, like when we're making assumptions about, you know, my wife and I have these things. Sometimes our schedules vary so much that there are certain, there's a kind of an ebb and flow, and we know certain nights or a late night or this or that. But, you know, sometimes when there's just not a clear just expectation or understanding of, kind of like my wife will walk in the house and I'm in the middle of something and she's expecting me to join her for dinner and I already ate, or just kind of very simplistic things are kind of like, we're just not on the same page because we're not being absolutely clear what our expectations are, how things are going to play out. That often can lead, you know, down the wrong path. It's just so important to kind of just make sure we're on the same page, make sure we both understand what we expect is about to happen. And it's often just a quick, did you eat dinner yet? Did you have the half now? It's like, it seems so simplistic, but I just seen in our own experience that a lot of times that can kind of mess things up. And secondarily, when you're dealing with, you know, a house full of children obviously can have all different types of needs. And it's always a balancing act, kind of carving out time for your kids, carving out time for each other, educating your kids in terms of when it's respectful and appropriate to, or how to express their needs. But at the same time, one has to be flexible and understand you can plan all you want to spend time together or have private time together, and then all of a sudden something happens and it just doesn't happen. And that's the reality of a growing family, that, you know, there's a certain amount of flexibility that one has to you know, be sensitive to. At the same time, when things don't work out, one has to kind of assure their spouse that they're going to make it up to them, or they're going to try to, you know, that it's not necessarily we lost the opportunity, but rather we have to figure out how we're now going to compensate for this lost opportunity. So again, all this goes to the core of communication. And I find you can never over communicate. I mean, you can't over communicate. Better to over communicate and make sure you're on the same page than under communicate, make assumptions, and then one of the members of the partnership could bear a grudge or be hurt or could be passive aggressive even. You know, I'm just talking more broadly because people just, you know, they're hurt and you don't realize it, so on and so forth.
I'm glad you brought up over communication, because sometimes I feel that I'm hyper aware of improving a relationship, and whether it's with a friend, family member, or Sarah, and focusing, and especially having a podcast on relationships, we get all these great tools. And so it's like, oh, we got to check in and communicate. And I, I guess sometimes it does feel like over communication. And I know you said you can't, and I understand that statement, but obviously there's nuance within there. So how can we, I guess, responsibly think about that so that we're not constantly, what I've found maybe to make this more clear is that sometimes sitting with something that's bothering me before just communicating it right away has been valuable. And so in a sense, maybe it's sitting with an idea or an issue before just communicating it right away.
So that I think makes a lot of sense. I do think that kind of sharing our feelings in the moment never or rarely plays out effectively. I think at the core of what you're asking to me is really self-awareness, meaning we have to be aware. We have to take responsibility for ourselves, for our feelings, and we have to know what type of person we are. Like, I'm the type of person, for example, that, you know, things could build up inside of me and I may not say something, but if I keep letting things go without addressing it, it might come out much worse in 2 weeks because I'll have built up like 3 slights over that time as opposed to just kind of clearing the air. There are other people that are, you know, in the delay tactic, things just go by the wayside. They forget all about it and they move on. So a lot of it really depends on kind of your nature, how easygoing you are, I agree with you. And it's always good to kind of think through before one is reactive and kind of calm down and share whatever is bothering them or troubling them from a place of calmness, from a place of control. That for sure, I agree across the board. I think in terms of strategically, whether we decide to let things go completely or whether we, you know, you don't want to be nitpicking at every little thing either. A person has to let some things go, that's for sure. But in terms of strategically figuring out when it's worthwhile to invest in trying to rectify something or whether it's just let it go, that probably depends a lot on how well you let things go. And are you going to keep adding to it or are you going to actually really let it go? So that, I think that really varies from person to person.
I want to highlight the tip you gave, a couple of tips. The first one being communicating to your partner that now is not a good time for communication. So it's such a valuable thing. Like you said, it's like, hey, I'm in the middle of something, or hey, I have to deal with this work thing. Let's talk about this later, and then I'll be able to give you my full attention. I feel like if we're able to just do that, that will prevent a lot of issues coming up, a partner not being heard, or maybe you go in and to the communication already and you're really not present because you're thinking about someone else, and then your partner gets offended and now suddenly there's another issue. So to me, that's a self-awareness along the same thread of what you were just talking about, of just knowing your mind's not there, and also your, as a partner, being accepting of that and then having the communication at a better time. I think that's such a valuable thing that ties into this idea of just knowing ourselves and being aware of where we're at.
I think as many learn in marriage, I think in the best marriages, people really understand that your partner's not you. You are not your partner. And I think early on in marriages, when people are really just negotiating the rules, there's a lot of frustration when the person is not them. They don't see the world the way they do. They don't react the way they do. Over time, when you grow kind of as a couple, you come hopefully, ideally, to appreciate and value the differences that your partner presents or the opportunity they bring to complete you. And a part of that process is to understand, even in the minutiae of communication, that everybody's styles are different. Everybody's needs are different. Like, we're not the same. And because I would approach a situation this way, or it's obvious to me, A, B, or C in the moment, it doesn't mean it's obvious to my partner. And it doesn't make them better or worse than me. It just makes them different. And it's crucial to just understand that people are different. Everybody's different. We're all different. And we have to learn how to live with difference and value it and embrace it and not fight it.
I love that you mentioned that it's not always, your partner doesn't always know. And Chase and I kind of joke with each other and that we're not mind readers, right? Like, because you don't know like what your partner's thinking sometimes or feeling. And so don't assume, ask questions and be supportive. And so I really like that you mentioned that.
We're certainly not mind readers, that's for sure. But that being said, I think many people in their imagination of what marriage is supposed to be like think that their significant other should be able to read their mind.
Right.
In my experience, people that are in touch with reality understand and appreciate. Yeah. You hear about couples that are married 50, 60, 70 years. They can really read every step of what the other is. I was recently on a podcast. I spoke about relationships as well. And I told a beautiful Jewish story about one of the great righteous leaders of the Jewish people who basically would go to the doctor and he would go to the doctor with his wife and he would say, "Our foot hurts us." Like, he felt such a oneness with his spouse. But that doesn't happen overnight. That takes a lot of years of investment and a lot of spiritual sensitivity and character refinement. And maybe one day we all can get there. But it's not, I think, the flip side of that is it's very hard to read somebody else's mind. We are independent entities. And we have to try as best as we can to learn the nuances of our significant others.
Well, Rabbi Cohen, thank you for sharing all this great information with us and our guests today. Before we wrap up and say goodbye, is there anything that we skipped over or maybe didn't emphasize about communication that you want to share? And then you can tell our listeners where they can find you online, and then we'll say goodbye.
Sure. The one thing I would just mention, I alluded to it a little bit earlier in the conversation, is that, if you're a person who uses Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, you name it, so on and so forth. There are new tools that jump up, by the day. TikTok is big nowadays. If you're a person who's enmeshed in that world, I think it really behooves a person to be very protective of their relationship in that milieu. I find it very inspiring when you see people who have their profile picture is them and their spouse. Kind of like make it very clear right from the get-go. I'm married, this is where my commitment is. Like, don't try to solicit me, online, so on and so forth. I think it's important. I think it shows your spouse. If you need to use these avenues for work or business or for whatever connections you're using it, fine. I'm not judging that, but I'm saying, but make it very clear kind of that you're married, that you're happily married, that you're a family person. I think that's crucial. I think that's important. I think one has to be very careful with these tools. And like what I said earlier, I would just reinforce that we shouldn't fool ourselves into thinking that because we're so used to communicating in these kind of curt or succinct ways or artificial ways in a lot of the world, that we have to be careful not to let that or not to forget how the communication at home needs to be deeper and more fundamental. And again, communication, I think, is the foundation of all of marriage. There's so many, we could have 10 podcasts or 20 podcasts, as you well know, on all different areas of marriage and focus of marriage. But everything, it's all intertwined. And I think that communication is the core. At the end of the day, you want to talk about, X, Y, or Z in marriage, you're always going to come back to communication, because that's really the basis that you're going to build and improve all other areas. People have stress with in-laws. People have stress with negotiating finances. People have stress in the bedroom, so on and so forth. But if you have good communication skills, or you're beginning to practice them or open them up, that can really help you, in all different realms or areas. So I think this is really a course. I appreciate you enabling me the opportunity to share some basic tips on this all-consuming area of marriage. In terms of people that want to find me, so my website is a great place to find me. RabbiDavidMCohen.com. RabbiDavidMCohen.com is a great place to find me. Through my website, you can then find me on all my different social media channels. I also have a book that I wrote. It's available on Amazon. It's called We're Almost There, Living with Patience, Perseverance, and Purpose. And in the context of my book, I have an entire section that's devoted to the early years of marriage. And it focuses a lot on some of the themes we spoke about here on this podcast in terms of communication, in terms of how to negotiate kind of individuation from our families of origin, and how to fuse and merge ourselves into one. And this is something that's based on a verse in the Bible, at the very beginning of the Bible, that we leave our parents' house and we cling to our spouses. And there's a lot to talk about in that milieu. So I welcome any of your audience that hopefully gained from this and wants to reach out and wants to interact. So I'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have the link to your book and your website in the show notes and on our website at idpodcast.com. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. It was really a pleasure.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show, guys. As always, the links will be in the podcast description as well as on the show notes on our website at idopodcast.com. And while you're on our website, we hope you guys check out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge. It's a challenge where we send you a daily email for 14 days with easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And it's honestly just a whole lot of fun to do with your partner. It's something new, and we think you guys will really enjoy it. So check it out. And while you're on the website, there are tons of free resources, as well as more information about our online course, Spark My Relationship, where our listeners can get $100 off. So check that out. You can go directly to the course website at sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. And that's where you can get the $100 off. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.